Good morning, everybody. Glad you are here today. You probably all heard that Indiana has said beginning tomorrow, everybody mask up whenever you're out and you can't social distance. We encourage all of you to mask up. And we are not going to have mask police here at Fairfield. However, I know some of you mask up, and that is great. Some of you don't mask up. That's okay. Let's respect one another's preferences. And if people want a social distance, please respect that. I think we're all adults, and we can all be mindful of one another's one another's preferences on how we handle those kinds of things. Listen, today I want to talk with you about strengthening your faith. Faith is a whole lot like a muscle. It can grow and get stronger. However, it all depends in how you use it. One of the questions that I've been asked quite a bit over the years is this: why in the world is this happening to me? I just don't understand. You see, if you don't understand how God wants to build your faith, if you don't understand how God wants to strengthen your faith, you can get discouraged. You can become afraid of the future as well. We started this short series just last week. We talked about Noah. Today, we're looking at the life of Abraham. And Abraham's life is an incredible story about trusting God and living by faith. And if you're going to carve out a Mount Rushmore of faith, I think probably among all the people in the Bible, Abraham would most likely be the very first face that you have up on that Mount Rushmore of faith. Understand, Abraham founded the nation of Israel. Not only that, three religions claim Abraham as their founder. You've got Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And Abraham's name is mentioned, get this, 308 times in the Bible. In fact, God made a bunch of promises to Abraham as well. God said to Abraham, I will make your descendants, or I should say it this way, you and your descendants will be given a homeland. You and your descendants will be given a homeland. And also, you and your descendants will become a great nation someday. And you'll enjoy a special relationship with me. And here's the best one, I think. Abraham, through you, you will bless all nations. Through you, I will be a blessing to all nations. You see, Abraham, in my mind, is an unlikely hero because Abraham was willing to live by faith and trust God, even though Abraham did not understand what God was actually up to. Faith? Faith is stepping up to the plate and facing your difficult challenges in spite of your fear. It's stepping up to the plate, facing your difficult challenges in spite of your fear. The Bible says that because of your faith, it will happen. The Bible also says everything is possible for the person who has faith in God. And so that begs the question, where does all this begin? How in the world does God build up? How in the world does God strengthen my faith? I think it all begins with number one. I think it begins with a dream. God always starts with a dream. Now, why is a dream so important? You see, a dream is important because dreaming allows you to think beyond. We set goals. We plan for the future. But dreaming takes it even further than that. Dreaming allows you to see more and more and more possibilities. In Genesis chapter 12, we see the dream that God gave Abraham. And all this thing begins in Genesis chapter 12. Open up your Bibles, click on your smartphones or maybe your tablets. Look at Genesis chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. There God said to Abraham, Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. Abraham was 75 years old when he followed God's call to move his entire family away from their homeland to a place they had no idea about. a place they had never been before. And we find out later that Abraham actually lived in what we call today modern-day Iraq. And he moved then from modern-day Iraq, he moved all the way over to southern Israel to this area where there's this city called Shechem. It's in southern Israel. And that took a lot of faith. It took a lot of trust in God. I mean, stop and think about it. Traveling to a foreign country without a map. Now, I know a lot of us today don't use maps anymore, so let me put it in these terms. You're traveling to a foreign country where you've never, ever been without a GPS, without any form of knowing where you're going at all. And you see, not only did he do that, but he left his home. He left his family members. He left all of his friends. And he had no idea if he'd ever see them again in his entire life. You see, if God gives you a dream to do something, it will require you trusting in God. It will require a whole lot of faith. In fact, the dream that God gives you will be so big that you cannot accomplish that dream unless you have God being a part of it. George Mueller said this, faith doesn't operate in the realm of possibility. You see, there's no glory in that for God. Well, he said it this way, there is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. In other words, if you do something on your own power and you say, man, God was incredible, God was fantastic. If you do something in your own power, that's a wrong statement because that was because of you. That wasn't because of God. You did it. You see, faith begins where man's power ends. You can do all you can do. You can do everything you can possibly think of, and then you've got to hand it over to God and allow God to do only that which God can do. And the Bible puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. There the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, and he said this, with God's power working in us, and here it is, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or even imagine. You see, faith always begins with a dream. But a dream just doesn't stop there. If you want a person, if you want to be a person of extraordinary faith, you need to take a second step. And that step is this. You've got to make a decision. You've got to make a decision. If you take that first step in a new dream, I believe God will give you the courage to take the next step, and that next step is a decision. Nothing's going to happen until you wake up and you put your faith into action. This is what James says. James says in chapter 1, their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. In other words, if you're not careful, you say, hey, we're living by faith. Hey, we're trusting God. Hey, listen, let's kind of back off. Let's not go for it like we thought we would. Or maybe you say, you know what, it's going to work, it's going to work, let's go for it, it's going to work. And then you say, oh, no, let's stop right now. I'm not so sure that's going to work. You see, that's being unstable. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. And so Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Now, does anybody have any idea who Lot is? This person by the name of Lot? Lot is his nephew. Lot is Abraham's nephew, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old and when he set out from Haran. Here's something you may or may not know. That word faith that we talk about a lot, that word faith in biblical terms is not a noun. That word faith in biblical terms is not a passive word. That word faith in biblical terms is not just something we talk about. The word faith in biblical terms is actually a verb. It's an action. It's something that you do. You see, Abraham acted on the dream that God gave him. That's why decision making is a faith building activity. That's why you put it into action. You've got to let go of your security. In order to step out, trusting God, trusting that God's going to take care of you. You've got to let go of your security. In fact, you can't move forward in your faith. You cannot move forward in your faith and hold on to the past at the same time. Faith is an action. There's a little boy who was afraid of the dark, and one night his mom asked him to go to the back porch and get the broom for her. And he says, "Oh, Mommy, I don't want to go out there at all. I'm afraid of the dark." And the mom said to the little boy, "Honey, it's okay. Don't worry. It's just fine. You don't have to be afraid of the dark out there because Jesus is out there." And so this little boy, very nervously, made his way to the back porch. He cracked open the door. He peered into the darkness out there. And the little boy said, "Jesus, would you please hand me the broom?" Faith, right? At least that's a start, right? He took one little step, right? You see, you got to think about this. You got to think about it this way. Faith has to grow. You got to take that first step when it comes to faith. Abraham had to move away. Remember Peter? The guy who walked on the water, one of the disciples? Peter had to get out of the boat in order to walk on the water. And not only that, James and John, the sons of thunder, they had to leave their father's fishing business in order to follow Jesus Christ. What if God were to give you a radical challenge? What if God were to say to you, "I want you to do that," and you go, "Whoa, wait a minute." Moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, let me ask you this. What if your child gets a full ride scholarship to some prestigious university here in the United States? She goes through 4 years, graduates with honors at the top of their class. This Fortune 100 company offers them a job, offers them a career. They come home, you guys talk about it, and then the son, the daughter says to you, "You know what, God's been working on me for the past 6 months, maybe a year, and I think I'm going to turn down this job. I'm going to turn down this career opportunity, and what I'm going to do is spend 3 years in a third world country working as a missionary." What would you say, Dad? Mom? Grandma, Grandpa? What would you say? We would most likely say, right, "What in the world are you doing? What are you thinking? Why would you do something like that?" No, we shouldn't say anything like that. Nothing at all. We should say, "Praise God that you're going to follow His leading." But instead, we don't say that. Instead, we say, "You're nuts. You're throwing your life down the drain." Be careful, Dad. Mom, be very careful with those kinds of situations. Last week, we talked about Noah. And no doubt, all of Noah's friends, I mean, he had this ark he was building in his front yard, right? This huge monstrosity of a ship, larger than a football field. He's building in his front yard. No doubt, all of his friends are saying, "You know what, you're nuts. You're crazy. You're off your rocker." You see, when we attempt great things for God, people will say, "You are nuts. You're pouring your life down the drain." In the present tense, faith, most of the time, looks like you're stupid. However, in the past tense, in hindsight, when all the votes are in, faith looks so heroic. And here's a question I believe all of us have to ask ourselves throughout our entire lives. Are you going to obey the Lord, or are you going to give in to the opinions of other people? We ask ourselves that in church work. Maybe you need to ask yourself that when it comes to your career. Maybe you need to ask yourself that in terms of where you're living. Am I going to follow the lead of the Lord here, or am I going to give in to the opinions of other people? I mean, do you want to have extraordinary faith? If you want to have extraordinary faith, you go with God. If you want to build your faith, if you want to strengthen your faith, you got to put your dream to the test and then make the decision to act on faith with God. Faith is always an action. It's a verb. And then here's a third part of the process. There may be a delay. There may be a delay. There's always a time lapse before the dream becomes a reality. And also remember this, delay doesn't necessarily mean God's denial. Delay isn't always God's denial. God's timing is a whole lot different than our timing. Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. God says, what I want you to do, Abraham, is this. I want you to take your family and everything you have. I want you to move from Haran, Iraq, and I want you to move to southern Israel, the land of Canaan. I want you to move lock, stock, and barrel. And that's what he did. He moved. They got settled in. They set the tents up. The campfire was going. And then suddenly God says, hey, listen, fold up the tents, put the fire out. We're going down to Egypt. You see, maturity in faith is understanding the difference between no and not yet. Between no and not yet. Trivia question for you. Do you know what the name of the oldest college is in America? What's the name of the oldest college in America? Anybody want to venture a guess? The oldest college in America. William and Mary College. It's the oldest college in America. It was founded in 1693. It's in Virginia. Founded in 1693. It is 327 years old. It closed in 1861 due to the Civil War. It was closed for 4 years. Everyone said when they closed the doors in 1861, everyone said, you know what? William and Mary will never, ever open again. Everyone said it. Everyone. Except for one guy. His name was Benjamin Ewell. He was the president of the college. And as history records it, every single day for four long years, he climbed up into the chapel bell tower. He rang that bell to an empty campus every single day. And then in 1865, the university opened right back up. It opened up because of the faith of one man who would not allow something to close down that God had opened up to begin with. Maybe everyone around you thinks you're nuts. Maybe everyone around you thinks you're off your rocker. You're crazy for all of your beliefs. You're crazy for being sold out for Jesus Christ. You're crazy for dreaming the dreams that you've got from God. You keep on believing. You keep on dreaming because that's the gift of faith that God's given you. And don't ever forget that delay is not God's denial. Now, here's a fourth step in the process, and that is there may be difficulties. There may be difficulties. Not only do you have to wait, but you get to have problems along the way. Not only do you have to wait, you're going to have problems along the way. Aren't you glad you came today? Yeah, I came today to do some worship. I came today to learn from God's word. I came today for some encouragement. And you're telling me today, Lynn, that guess what? There's going to be problems while I wait on God? That doesn't make sense, right? Well, it happened to Abraham in two different ways. Circumstances and critics. Circumstances and critics. Abraham faced both of those. And get this. God said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to be the father of a great nation, many nations. But Abraham didn't have a son. He didn't have a son to make those nations. You see, that was his circumstance. And his critic was his wife. She got tired of waiting for over two decades, about 25 years. She got tired of waiting on God to give them a son. And that leads me to Genesis 12, or I should say Genesis 16. Look at verses 1 and 2. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. And so she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children." She blames God for this. "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave, and perhaps I can build a family through her." You see, because of her struggle, in her own faith, she could not, she would not wait for God's delay, and she decided to do things her own way. She decided to take things into her own hands. And that decision that she made thousands of years ago has impacted history ever since then. Did you know that? She and Abraham had a child. Hagar and Abraham had a child whose name was Ishmael. Ishmael is one of the patriarchs of the Muslim faith. And then Abraham and Sarah had a child, and their child's name is Isaac. Isaac was one of the patriarchs of the Jewish faith. And the Jewish faith and the Muslim faith have been at war. They've been at war, and it's been raging for centuries upon centuries, and it will continue to rage in the Middle East until Jesus returns. The bottom line is this: are you going to go with your plan in this life? Or are you going to go with God's plan in this life? You see, that's a question all of us have to ask ourselves. Is it our plan or is it God's plan? I mean, think of the people in the Bible who have extraordinary faith. And yet, in spite of the fact that they had extraordinary faith, they had a tough time at it. I mean, think of Moses. He led this nation of Israel out of Egypt. They're going to the promised land. They got to the point in the desert where they had no water and no food, and the only thing he had was a nation of people who were nothing but complainers. That's all they did, complain. Or think of Daniel. He put God first in his life. He winds up in the lion's den. Or what about Stephen in the book of Acts? Stephen in the book of Acts was preaching Jesus Christ. He was telling people about Jesus, and they stoned him to death. Or what about this other guy back in the Old Testament? His name was Joseph. Joseph lived a life of sexual purity. Sexual purity. He was accused of raping a woman, falsely accused of raping a woman, and he was thrown into prison for a crime he did not commit. Bad things happen to good people. And that begs the question, why? I mean, why do bad things happen to good people? Understand, being a Christian does not guarantee your life will be nothing more than a bed of roses. Being a Christian doesn't mean that your life's going to be all peaches and cream. You see, living by faith means that we keep trusting God in spite of those tough times that we go through. And so why does God allow problems? Why does God allow crises? Why does God allow tough times in our lives? I think he allows them because what he wants to do is to build our faith. He wants to build our character, and he allows those tough times that we go through. Case in point, look at 1 Peter chapter 1. There Peter says, beginning in verse 6, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold may be proved genuine. You see, here's the deal. Our response to problems validates our faith. It proves our faith. I mean, it's easy to be a Christian when all your bills are paid. It's easy to be a Christian when life's going along grand. But trust me when I say this. When tough times hit your life, you say, well, like what? Like you lose your job due to COVID. Right? Or when you have to bury your own child. And when you go through tough times like those, maybe when you've lost your house, maybe when you've lost your car, maybe you're broken financially, broken emotionally, when you can go through tough times like those and still say, I love Jesus. When you go through tough times like those and you can still say, God's in control of my life, that validates your life in Jesus Christ. That validates your faith. That's an extraordinary kind of faith. And then here's a fifth thing when it comes to this process of building up your faith. And the fifth thing is this. You may come to a dead end. Oh my goodness, you may come to a dead end. Again, aren't you glad you came today? There are some people in our church who will say, that's me right now. That's where I'm living today. That's my life at the present moment. And I don't want to minimize our tough times, but I would say you're in great company. You're in great company. Most of the heroes in the Bible that we read about, especially there in Hebrews chapter 11, most of them have come to a dead end in their faith journey. They've come up to the wall and they've stopped. God, where are you? God, how in the world can I get through this? Genesis chapter 18, check this out, beginning there in verse 10. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old. Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed at herself as she thought, after I'm worn out and my Lord Abraham is old, will I now have this pleasure? What pleasure? Pleasure of having a kid? And then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Hey, Abraham, why did your wife laugh at what I said? Why did she laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with couples, with individuals, with families who are at a crisis point in their lives, for whatever reason it might be. It might be a death, it might be financial, it might be a divorce, who knows? But I've said to them all, if God can raise a person from the dead, can't He raise your life out of the ashes? If God can raise someone from the dead, can't He raise your marriage out of the ashes? Can't He raise your finances out of the ashes? Can't He raise your son's life out of the ashes? Can't God do that if He can raise the dead? Remember what God said to Abraham? He said here in Genesis 18, He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? The obvious answer is no. And then he goes on to say, God goes on to say, I'll return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. She will have a son. Abraham and Sarah had a son. Trivia question, what's Abraham and Sarah's son's name? Isaac, exactly right. And the name Isaac means what? Anybody want to venture that guess? Son of laughter, or laughter. You say, God has a sense of humor. Stop and think about it. Every single time Sarah, the one who laughed at God, every time she sees Isaac, every time she hears his, thinks his name, guess what? She's reminded of her lack of faith. She's reminded of God's promise. God does have a sense of humor. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Listen up. Do not allow the dead ends of this life to destroy your faith in God. What do I mean? Dead ends in life? Your spouse is leaving you. You got to report from a test that you had run at the hospital just recently. Just you and a couple other people know about it, and it's not good. It's terminal. There's nothing they can do. Maybe you've lost your house. Maybe you've lost your car. It's been repossessed. They towed it away. Maybe you found out that one of your kids is addicted to drugs, alcohol. Maybe you found out that someone very close to you is addicted to pornography. Maybe they have a sexual addiction. Don't let the dead ends of life destroy your faith. You're confused and you're angry. You can't cope with all this stuff. Don't let the dead ends of life destroy your faith. And don't ever forget this. Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. If He can raise a man from the dead, if He can raise a child from the dead, can't He raise your life, your situation out of the ashes? Look at number 6. Nothing's impossible with God. Just hang in with God and wait for deliverance, or wait for God. Wait for God. The best response to a dead end in your life is to wait for God to act. Wait for God to do something. Too often we put our head down and we push through it. We're going to get this. We're going to go through this. We're going to do it. Too often times we push through in our own strength. We never get to see God at work in our lives. You see, what you do is that you take that situation that you find yourself in and you say, God, here you go. God, here you go. Here it is. And you allow God to take it, and then you turn your palms down and you back away and you put your hands in your pocket and you say, God, I'm not going to take that back this time. Because all too often we give it to God, and then shortly thereafter we go, thanks God, I think I got a good idea now. Thanks God, I think I got it figured out now. And we take it back and we put it in our own pocket. We need to give it to God and let it stay in God's hands. Notice how God worked in this situation, Genesis 21:1 and following. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as He said. And the Lord did for Sarah what He had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. What situation are you facing right now that you need to put into God's hands? What situation is that? What situation are you going through right now that you need to put into God's hands? Palms up, and then you put your palms down, put your hands in your pockets, and allow God to keep it. You see, if we're not careful as Americans, we can take it back and we can take control of the situation. I mean, that's who we are, right? We get things done. We fix things. We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, and we can handle it. We're Americans, right? Americans, we can do it. We take control and we don't allow God to work in our lives. The delays, the difficulties, the dead ends, those crummy times can actually strengthen our faith. Do you want to have a stronger faith? Do you? Then allow God to take control. Allow God to take over. Not you, but God. God uses the delay in your life to strengthen your faith, to make you stronger. He uses difficulties. He uses dead ends. Where are you right now in your faith journey? And regardless of where you find yourself, never ever forget that God... with God, nothing is impossible. If God can raise people from the dead, He can raise you and your situation up from the ashes. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the opportunity to be here today. And God, I pray that as we look at Abraham's faith, that we will be able to look at our own faith And Father, we be able to say, you know what, I need to grow. I need to allow you, God, to do more. Less of me, God, and more of you. And so, God, this is a dangerous prayer to pray, but we ask that you would strengthen our faith, that you would strengthen our character. And God, in the long process of that happening, we would become closer to you. God, we lift these things in the name of Jesus to your throne right now. We pray in his name. Amen.